Luke chapter 14, verse 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Now notice that. That's good. That's important. Always stop and think. So Jesus is going to start whittling things down. For a while, he's riding the wave of popularity. And people are flocking because of what they can get. Okay, but that's not discipleship. Okay, that's entry level. That's not advanced level. Thank God we all came for what we could get. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if it wasn't for the gift of salvation, I mean, that's what drew us into this. But he's about to separate the men from the boys. Okay? And so here we go. If any man come to me, well, this is a hard saying. Think about this. And hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross. Wait a minute, we came to get fish and bread. We came to get healed. We came because of some kind of a rumor going around about some water that you give out and then you don't have to go to the well anymore. We came because we heard you can teach people to walk on water. What's this about a cross now? What is this? Whosoever hath not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Yet happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Look back at verse 27. Cannot be my disciple. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to get a grasp and an understanding of the Christian life a little better. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us, dear God. We've never needed in America more than we need now Christians that will sell out, sign up for discipleship, that are not just content with coming to you, getting a free gift, and then going on to live for self, but really grasping and understanding, Lord, the depth of responsibility that comes with free salvation. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, I need your help, Holy Spirit. I'm going to be the human voice, but I need the Spirit of God to work in recruiting disciples for the cause of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This Sunday morning is kind of turning into an unplanned series. I started 4 weeks ago with You Can Survive Your Storm. And then 3 weeks ago, You Can Overcome Your Obstacles. And then 2 weeks ago, You Can Defeat Satanic Strongholds. And then, of course, I was gone a Sunday. I want to preach on this subject. You can build a tower for God. You can build a tower for God. Let me start up with some introductory comments. You know what? Man was placed on earth to build. It's in us. It's in us. When I was a young man and I began to look for a job and I got my license finally and I could go out and try to find regular employment, and that's kind of a good thing to do once you get a license or even before, hitch a ride, hitchhike, get used to working in your teen years. But I tell people that I decided, well, where do I get a job? So I went to Linton and I walked in a fast food place and they handed me an application. I got about 2 lines filled out and I watched behind the counter and I said, I would kill myself if I have to work here. I like working outdoors. And I'm certainly not casting stones at people that work inside. It's just the way I was wired. I was thinking I'd go crazy inside. I want to do something outdoors. So I went down to what used to be Pope's Lumber Yard. And Chris Mowry had a job there at this that time, and I told Chris, give me a list of some names of some local contractors, and he did. Comes in here and buys lumber, and I went of an evening. I looked up in the Yellow Pages. I didn't search on my cell phone, didn't Google it. There was no cell phone. There was no Google. There was something called a phone book, and you opened it up, and it had addresses in it, and I went. And without a Garmin, I found these addresses. No GPS involved. Just something called an old-fashioned atlas, a map, amen. Paper, made out of paper. I took an atlas on the trip. Brother Brian had two atlases he brought on the trip, brother. Come on now, we're old school. And but I went and knocked on the doors and just said, you know, I'm not highly skilled, but I can work hard and I can learn quick and You got a job for me. About the third place I went, man said, show up 6 o'clock, such and such a place tomorrow morning. I'll give you a day to prove yourself. And buddy, I worked hard that day, and he gave me a job. And you know what? The place that he had me go, we were building a house in Linton. You know what? To this day, I will from time to time drive by that house, slow down and take a look, because there's something about just knowing that I had a part in building it. God wired us this way. Men are going to build something. You're going to build something. So number one, man was placed on earth to build. Number two, a man will build something that glorifies God or spend his life trying to build something that glorifies himself. Now that's the choice. You're going to build something. You're going to do something. You're going to create something. So you've got to decide, do I take my energies and efforts and do I give God my best? And do I build a life that's proper testimony for him? And do I accomplish some things that will last the fires of the judgment seat and endure for eternity and result in souls saved? Or do I just say, hey, I've only got 70 years to enjoy this world and it's going to be about me? So somebody's going to build for God, and somebody's going to try to build something that glorifies themselves. Say, preacher, do you have Bible for that? Let's go to Genesis chapter 11. Let's go back there and take a look at this. Because men are builders, they're going to build something. In Genesis chapter number 11, we read the story of the Tower of Babel. In Genesis chapter 11, we read about a group of men that got together and decided they were going to build something. Genesis 11, verse number 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there and said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, folks, men are going to build something. And there have been men and groups of men that have got together throughout the ages. And by the way, talk to the archaeologist. All of these monuments, all of these cities, all of these things that men built for their glory, now they dig down into the dirt and take little brushes and find pieces of it, because what you build for you isn't going to last. Okay, I don't care how well you built your house. Somebody built one just as well 200 years ago, and guess what? It's gone. It's gone. So you've got to decide what you're going to spend your life doing. A man was placed on earth to build. A man's going to build something that it's either going to glorify God or something to try to glorify themselves. And this is the theme of a new generation. Let us make us a name. Let us make us a name. Well, what was God's reaction to that? In verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man builded. The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Preacher, where did all of the different languages come from? You just read where it came from. God says, if you're going to try to build something for you, I'm going to come down and create confusion in your life. And what you have decided that you're going to do, I'm going to see that it's undone. Why? Because God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And so you have to make a choice in life. A man's place was placed on earth to build something. A man will build something that either glorifies God or try to build something that will glorify himself. And our third introductory statement, a life lived as a disciple of Jesus Christ becomes a monument, a tower, a stronghold for God. And that's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Preacher, what's the best life that a man can live? What's going to be the life that's going to be the most rewarded and the most blessed at the judgment seats? When you decide that your life is going to be a monument to the glory of God, and you're going to live your life for him and not yourself, I don't think there's anything greater than being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, discipleship is really a decision to take your life and make it a monument for God. This word tower, if we'll go back to our original story back in Luke chapter number 14. This tower that we read about in verse 28 and verse number 29 and verse number 30, for which of you intending to build a tower? If you look up that word tower, it has the idea of a monument, but it also has the idea of a tower as far as built for protection. And it also has the idea of a castle, a fortress, a stronghold. And I believe that when somebody decides to become a disciple. And by the way, why this parable, verse 28, 29, and 30? Let's interpret it in the context that it's given. Why this parable? What's the subject? He's talking about discipleship. He's talking about selling out for God. He's talking about living in a life that's extraordinary for the Lord Jesus Christ. That means something, that amounts to something in all eternity. He says when you do that, it's like building a tower. It's like building a monument. And you know what? I can name men's names. And you know what? In your mind, you would think they were great pillars for the Lord. They were great monuments to the grace of God. They were disciples. They were towers, by the way, that afforded, because of the way they lived their life, afforded protection for those that were around them. You know what? They were strong men, strong women, who stood for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? A lot of people were helping blessed because of that. They were a castle, a fortress, a stronghold. You know, it's interesting. 2 weeks ago, we talked about satanic strongholds and overcoming them. You know what, folks? If Satan can build a stronghold, why don't we let God build a stronghold? I mean, why don't we let our family be a stronghold for the Lord? Why don't we talk about satanic strongholds all the time. Why can't we have Blessed Old Baptist Church be a stronghold for God? We're worried about where we can't penetrate. Let's give the devil something to worry about. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this. You can be that person. Oh, preacher, you don't understand the way I was raised, and you don't understand some of the things in the past, and you should have been in the shadow of the window rock. And you should have, last Wednesday morning, listened to the testimony of a man by the name of Ryan Ness. And I'm not going to try to repeat his testimony. But I will tell you this, sometimes God reaches down to the very depths of sin and just says, I'm going to make a trophy out of this person. If they'll make the decision to be a disciple, I'm going to make sure they're a first-rate one. I mean, folks, we brag about Paul, but have you forgotten that at one time he was Saul? Do you understand that? I'm talking about what's the difference. At one point in their life, they said, you know what? I'm going to stop trying to spend my life building something from the devil and building something for myself. And I'm going to decide that my life's going to mean something. It's going to stand for something. When people see it, they're going to think of God. And when people come to me, they're going to feel like there's some protection there and stability there. And you know what? If the devil can build some strongholds, why can't we as Christians build some strongholds for God? And so we're talking about discipleship. All of those things are a result of a man or a woman standing up and saying, I will be a disciple. Not just a Christian that came for what God could give me, but then to take out of thankfulness for the grace of God and willingness to give my life back to him and say, God, you didn't just save me to take me to heaven, or you'd have killed me the second after I got saved. You saved me so that I can make a difference on this planet, so that my life can mean something, so that people can be blessed and helped, so people can be pointed to the Savior. How does that happen? It happens the day you decide, I want to be a disciple. Now, what I love about the Lord Jesus is, boy, you know what? He does not challenge someone to be a disciple without being very honest with them about what they're going to face. And I would be wrong to try to spend the next 20 minutes or so talking you into discipleship and making it sound like it's a bed of roses, because it's not always a bed of roses. To try to convince you that it's not going to cost you anything, because it's going to cost you everything. To try to convince you that it is a crossless decision, because it's not. If you're going to be a disciple, you got to bear a cross. And so, first of all, let me just present this thought this morning. Number one, before you raise your hand and stand to your feet and volunteer for discipleship, Jesus says, now wait, you number one, you need to count the cost. Count the cost. He said, which of you, in verse 28, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? Now, I'm just telling you up front, folks, it's going to cost you something. Now, what's it going to cost you? Look, let's go back and see what he said in verse number 26. It's going to cost you the decision to give God supreme love. Supreme love. Isn't that the first and great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Preacher, this verse doesn't talk about love. It talks about hate. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Here it is in verse 26. Cannot be. Verse 27. Cannot be. Verse 33. Cannot be. So he's very emphatic about the preacher. I didn't read that right. I mean, good night. I mean, he wants me to hate. Listen to what I'm going to say here. When you look up that word hate, it means this: to be loved less. It's a comparative term, the way it's used right here. What it's saying is this, folks. I could take you to the scriptures and show you, gentlemen, where God commands you to love your wife. And husbands, where you're commanded to love your, I'm sorry, yeah. Husbands love your wives, wives love your husbands. Got to be careful nowadays. I'm going to get things mixed up here. I can take you to the scripture where it says you're supposed to love your children. So, preacher, wait a minute. Is the Bible contradicting itself here? It's a comparative term. What it's saying is this: your love for God should be so supreme above your love for anything else that if you were to compare the two, this would seem like hate compared to the level of love you have for God. It is good, but it's hard for people to grasp. And it's hard for us to accept. I had dealt with this in our young adult class a little bit. I want you to listen to what I have to say here. Listen, folks, Jesus wasn't kidding when he said this. We're talking about being a disciple. Please listen to what I have to say. We've got a generation of children being raised in independent fundamental Baptist churches that are looking at their parents and saying, you need to love me more than you love God. And some parents are saying, well, I'm going to love my kids and give up on God because, you know, it's family. You just made an idol out of them. Ma'am, are you asking for idol status in your marriage relationship? Is that what you're asking for? I mean, when it comes between your husband serving God or making you happy, you want him to make you happy over serving God? I mean, parents, are you making your children choose between making you happy and giving their lives wholly over to God? Now, let me say this very emphatically. See, all of a sudden, you know, he turned around to the multitudes, okay, and he said, we're going to thin this out a little. We're going to take some of you to the next level if you're ready to go. so far, and by the way, this is today's Christian, so far you've kind of been into it for what you could get. You've been following me and you're loyal to me because I've made life easy. But I'm about to make life hard. Now, is he wrong for doing this? Let me ask you the question and you answer it. Is Jesus in just a few months willing to do something hard for them? Okay, let's keep that in mind. Jesus is about to head to Calvary. Jesus is about to suffer in a way that we cannot even understand physically. But folks, that's not what really bothered him. He who knew no sin became sin. I mean, this is why he's sweating great drops of blood on Gethsemane, because you know what? He understands, I'm going to pay a price for you. I'm going to take my cross. Guess what? There's one waiting for you too. Now what's the cost? It's supreme love. What's the cost? It's a cross to bear. It's a cross to bear. There's going to be a cross that comes with discipleship, a Savior to follow. Forsaking all, the Bible says, verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. A disciple says, Lord, nothing I have belongs to me. Nothing that I am belongs to me. Everything belongs to you. All of it. Point at it. Tell me you want it. It's yours. That's discipleship. So first of all, I want you to consider and count the cost. Your life can be a monument to the grace of God, but it's going to cost something. So number one, you count the cost. Let's go back and look in the parable again, verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to build it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation. Number two, you lay the foundation. Number one, you count the cost. You really willing to pay the price? You really willing to pray to pay what it costs to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Number two, you got to lay the foundation. Now, when we say this matter of a foundation, I think there's two portions of Scripture that kind of comes to mind. Go over to Matthew chapter 7, if you will, and let's read about a parable about two foundations in Matthew chapter 7. And so we're talking about laying a foundation. Preacher, I believe in my heart of hearts that I want to go to the next level. I want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm telling you that you've got to love God supremely, and you've got to be willing to bear a cross, and you've got to be willing to follow the Savior, be obedient, and you've got to be willing to forsake all. But also, you've got to start then by laying the right foundation. In Matthew chapter 7, look at the end of the chapter, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now let's not rush past that. Therefore, whosoever, okay, all of you disciple volunteers, listen. If you've got to hear the sayings of Christ and do them. If you do, then you're like a wise man that builds your house upon the right foundation. Now, folks, the most important part of a house is not that part that you see. The most important part of the building that you're sitting in, you don't see it. And whether or not this building will stand the test of time and outlast the storms is not determined on whether or not we had crown molding or not in here, or what kind of carpet we laid. It's dependent on the type of foundation that's underneath it. And folks, let me say this. The foundation you have to lay as a disciple is this. I am going to listen to the words of Christ. I'm going to listen to the words of God as contained in the King James Holy Bible. And when I read it, I'm going to do it. That's discipleship. And you know what? Again, let me be honest with you. Not everything that God asks of us is easy. It's not. I'm just telling you, it's not. Not everything God asks of us even makes sense. And nowadays, most of what God asks of us is in direct contradiction to everything the culture is telling us. And yet a disciple doesn't bat an eye. He doesn't wet his finger to see which way the wind's blowing. He doesn't look around to see what's going to help him fit in or not fit in this society. He simply goes to the Bible and says, I'm going to read it. And if God commands something, I'm going to do it, because then I'm building my life on the right foundation. So it takes the proper foundation. Let's go over for our next point, over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Preacher, how do I allow my life to be a monument for God? You count the cost. Are you willing to pay it? You lay the right foundation, which is Jesus Christ and obedience to the words that he speaks. Number 3, if you're going to build a monument, use quality materials. Use quality materials. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if we begin reading in verse number 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Stop a minute. Wait a minute, preacher. Is this saying the same thing? Because back in Matthew, Jesus said, if you hear my words and obey them, then you're building on a rock. And here it says, build it on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me never fail to take an opportunity to say, you cannot separate Jesus, the living word, from the Bible, the written word. And when you build a life of obedience on the scriptures, you are building on the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word. And you know what? When he comes back on that horse, the Bible says that across his breastplate will be written the word of God. Listen, don't try. I've been accused of being a Bible worshiper, a book worshiper. You can't. I'm not going to let you get by with that. You can't separate Jesus and this book. If you were to take this book and turn it into a person, Jesus Christ would be standing here. If you take Jesus Christ and turn him into a book, you got your King James Holy Bible. How's that? Take that to the bank. So this book right here is a written representation of everything that Jesus is and is to mean to me, to you. And so, yes, it's talking about the same thing. Amen. So that's the foundation. Okay, preacher, I've counted the cost. I'm laying the foundation. I'm building my life on Jesus, his words, my obedience to his words. Now we got to come up from the foundation. All right, use quality materials. Here we go in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Say, preacher, what's the difference between using gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble? I've already covered that, but let me remind you. You will spend your life either building a life that glorifies God, or you'll spend a life that's built about glorifying yourself, and everything we do to bring glory to us will burn up on that day, and everything we truly did to bring honor and glory to God will stand the test of time, and it will survive the judgment seat. Use materials that will withstand the eyes of Christ. Preacher, where do you get that? Revelations chapter 1, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Say, preacher, where's this fire coming from? I believe God, as we stand before the judgment seat and all that we've accomplished is laid before him, I believe Jesus will simply look at it. And all that we did for us, and all that we did for poor motive, and all we did to try to bring glory upon ourselves, and all we did that was temporal and meaningless will burn up, and all that will be left will be things that we did with the intent to bring glory and honor to God. And the Bible says, according to what's left, that's going to be our reward. That's going to be our reward. Think about that. So if you're going to make this decision, if you're going to create a life that becomes a monument to God, you've got to count the cost to be willing to pay it. You got to lay the right foundation. Then you use quality materials where, listen, folks, we're talking about building upon a foundation that's Jesus, that is Jesus Christ, and using materials that will withstand the eyes of Christ at the judgment seat, and doing things for the right reason and the right way to bring honor and glory to God. And then you know how you make your life a monument for God? The last thing, number four, you finish the job. You finish the job. Let's go back to the parable in Luke chapter number 14, verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he has sufficient to finish it? It's about finishing it. Verse 29, less happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it. They all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to. Did that get repeated three times? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three different times. What's this about? It's about laying the right foundation. It's about counting the cost. It's about using the right materials. But it's also about getting to the finish line. Boy, I want to encourage you this morning. I've watched a generation of quitters, quitters. Started out strong for God. Preacher, I've counted the cost. I'm making the foundation of my life on Jesus Christ. I'm going to be all about bringing glory to God. I'm using the right materials. And then something happens. I quit. And you know what? The Bible says that the people around begin to mock. Now listen, folks, I want you to get this. That's why I want you to count the cost. The world has seen its share of flash in the pans. They're not impressed. Every single person that gets saved here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and takes off hard after God, every co-worker, every family worker has seen that before. And most of them will say the same thing. Well, yeah, let's see how long this lasts. I seen so-and-so and he did the same thing, got a little religion, got all excited, but look where he's at now. I seen this family, they got all pumped up for God. Man made some changes and laid a new foundation, but they walked away and the building stands there unfinished. A mockery, a mockery. And yet not everybody has that testimony. And the ones that they can't see fall off easily, they'll start attacking and they'll start trying to get to quit, because see, they're looking for what they need from us Christians is religion's good for a while, but it's not something you give your whole life to. And nobody really ever finishes a tower or a castle or a monument, and yet we know they do. And so you young men have an opportunity to make your life something spectacular for the Lord. But you got to count the cost. You young ladies, it's going to cost you something. If you're really going to sell out for the Lord and do this long term, and I mean make an eternal difference, it's going to cost something. Well, your preacher hadn't lied to you about this. I've been preaching the same thing for 30 years now. Pastor Ross that came before me, he never tried to dupe anybody. I mean, you've never walked to the door of this church and heard some Joel Osteen prosperity type Christianity, just get saved and everything's going to be glorious. We've been honest with you about this. What we need is some flint-faced disciples that say, you know what, I'm going to serve God. But you don't know what's coming. It don't matter. I'm going to serve God. But you don't know what you're going to get hit with. I know, but I'm going to serve God. But you don't know what people are going to say about you. It don't matter. I'm going to serve God. But what if I touch your health, then I'm going to serve God. But what if I take your possessions, then I'm going to serve God. But what if I require the wife of a child or a spouse, I'm going to serve God. What if everybody that I thought was for me turns against me? And what if all those that I thought were loyal and going with me, what if I look around and it's just me? I'm going to serve God. I have decided. Come on now. To follow Jesus,
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Nope.
No turning back.
How do you do that, preacher?
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me.
Come on now, that's what it costs.
No turning back.
See, if you face the cross, you got to turn your back on the world. And the minute you turn to the world, you turned your back on the cross. We're talking about discipleship. I didn't say you lost your salvation. I said you turned your back on the cross.
Though none go with me, still I will follow.
I mean, it's going to get lonely at times.
Though none go with me, still I will.
Preacher, don't you know what's going on Facebook? This person's left and that person's left. And everybody's saying this. It's been happening for 55 years. So what? But I'll tell you what. Sure makes me appreciate a Don Mowry. You can go ahead and talk about all. How come everybody puts a spotlight on the used to bees and nobody will talk about the still bees? Okay, my mama hadn't quit on God yet. Okay. But if she does, I'm not. And if I do, you shouldn't. I mean, folks, listen, I love everybody. But I'm going a direction. Okay, I get that. I love everybody. I mean this. I love people that used to be here. I love people that wouldn't spit on me if I was on fire. But I'm going a direction. And if you're going with me and you're going the same direction, we're going to have fellowship and it's going to be good. And I mean, that's the people I hang with, the ones heading to the cross. Okay? I mean, I love everybody, but if you're going that way, I'm going this way. Okay, you know, I didn't choose which direction you're going. I choose what direction I'm going. Well, what if close family members go the other way? Well, I'm going to the cross. What if your wife? Then I'm going to the cross. What if all your children, all your church family? Wait, what if you show up next Sunday morning to an empty church and everybody's decided to go out and go back to the world and turn their back, and then I'm going to the cross? But I've never had to walk alone yet. Because there's still a remnant. There's still some young people that get it. There's still some young couples that are saying, come on, preacher. I mean, we're only going to be here for a short time. We might as well take this road, amen. I mean, have you seen what's at the end of that other road, folks? No. Have you seen what's at the end of the other road? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Not the beginning, the end. I know what's at the end of this road. See, my daddy walked this road. See, I held his hand when he went to heaven. I watched him walk all the way to the end of it. I want to go there. Amen. I think I'll just finish what I started. I don't think I'm going to halfway do this. I don't think I'm going to come up with all the reasons that I've been mistreated, and I have, if you want to hear them. Light afflictions. Now, I've never had crown of thorns beat into my head. Never had nails. So what have I got to complain about? Never been spit on? Well, a couple times. We had an evangelist here, and I was sitting on the front row, and get all tight and preach and spit all over me. That was glory juice, man. That was just, set near the spout where the glory comes out. It's kind of gross, but it was, amen. come on. I mean, honestly, the Lord hadn't asked me to suffer a lot. Preacher, is there a cross? Yeah, there's a cross. There's crosses. Yep. By the way, I got mine, you got yours. It's all right. Listen, makes us stronger. Pick it up. Don't do any good to whine about it. Just pick it up. If that's the cross God gave you, just carry it. It's an honor to carry a cross. If I could be one man at Gethsemane, or not Gethsemane, on Golgotha's Hill, if I could be one man, I'd want to be, was it Joseph? Who was it that picked up the cross? Who was it? Simon. I want to be Simon. Just come over and say, okay, Lord, I'll take it for a while. That's called being a disciple. Jesus carried his cross. I can carry mine. And so if it involves some crosses, then it involves some crosses. So if it's hard at times, it's hard at times. Amen. Still glorious. I'd still rather be heading there than there. See, that's the coward's way out. Hey, that's the quitter, the path of the quitters. That's the backsliders and the blamers. These are the victory Christians. These are the ones that keep going on. Amen. Amen. Brother Bill watched your dad. He made it to the finish line. I was there when Brother Charles English breathed his last breath. He never turned back. Somebody's going to be at my bedside one of these days. I don't want them to hold the hand of a quitter. I hope my kids and my grandkids can gather around and say, you know, Dad wasn't perfect, but boy, he was like a bulldog when it comes to serving God. He just wasn't going to quit. He just wasn't going to quit. There wasn't any quit in him. Now pray for me. I'm not at the end yet. I'm not up here bragging because there ain't no bragging until you get to the finish line. Just want to stay on the path. I want my life to be a tower where people can run in, get some help. I want it to be a castle, a stronghold for God. I want it to be a monument so that after I'm gone, they said, he had a great God. He had a great God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd stir something in us, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'd use the message. Help some, encourage some young people that you're going to have to turn your back on that old world if you're going to face the cross. And this whole thing about discipleship, yeah, preacher told you again, I never have lied to you. It's going to cost you something if you're going to do it. And you're going to be in the minority because narrow is the path. Narrow is the way. And most people take the broad way. But boy, Lord, thank you for just letting me live this life. Thank you for what I got to see this past week. Thank you that all over this country, there's still people that are sold out they're going crazy for Jesus. They've given it all. They've surrendered it all. And they're not complaining about it. They're rejoicing in it. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Help this old preacher not to get up here and tell others not to quit. And then, Lord, I don't want to fail you. I don't want to fail you. Lord, help me to be able to say at the end, I've fought a good fight. Finished the course. I've kept the faith. Lord, I want to say that at the end. I want to be able to say that. I'm not going to get it perfect, but Lord, I want to be there at the end still serving you. And I pray this is getting the heart of an elementary kid that just decides, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I pray, Lord, that young person that's being pulled so hard by the world, I pray, Lord, that they just turn their back on the world and put their eyes on you and head that way and forget what everybody around them is saying. Just look at Jesus and head that way. I pray for those that are in the battle and, Lord, they've been faithful and Maybe they're going through a time of hardship and heartache, and it's not always easy. Lord, help their lives to be a monument, a tower, a castle. May we build something not so that we can make us a name, but make something that would glorify your name. Lord, bless God's people. Bless them and help them as they run their race. We pray in Jesus' name.